To be here for the first time this morning. And if you have ever wondered why it is that people who go to church, and I've often said this throughout the years, and the denomination doesn't matter, but if you have ever wondered why it is that the people who are very religiously oriented, why it is that they are just as sick and miserable and unhappy as those who never return to church at all. Have you ever given it a thought? Why it is that everyone, whether church-oriented or not, why everyone is at some point in their lives miserable? The health in the body is just not there. Harmony in their homes is simply missing. A lot of us, some of us at least, give some thought to that. But about 2,000 years ago, an individual came to Earth reminding us that even though people talk about the cause of disease and lack and limitation of all kinds as a physical phenomena, and I'm talking about the cause, like germs being the cause of disease, or unemployment being the cause of some nasty manager, nasty personalities being the cause of our frustrations and unhappiness. Needless to say that age is identified as why everything goes downhill. This man said that this was not the case. As a matter of fact, he said that contrary to popular belief, what appears to be physical did not have its origin in the physical world, but in mind. In other words, what he was saying, that is, whatever it is held in mind eventually outpictures itself in our environment. That it outpictures itself through a multitude of channels. In our financial affairs, for example, in our relationships, in everything imaginable, in our homes, in our bodies. In other words, this man made it perfectly clear that everything physical is effect. Always the result of something that is taking place in mind. And as a result of his teachings, we can say to you this morning that a man may never steal, that a woman may be kind and gentle to everyone she meets, charitable, gracious, Individuals may never cheat in their commitments, either at home or at the workplace. And yet, we see it all the time, that the most respected and admirable individual, whether male or female, doesn't matter, outstanding individuals in their communities, in their religious beliefs, in the environment. It is possible that these individuals have been holding a deep resentment for years, a hurt, a sense of betrayal, even jealousy. It is very possible that these individuals have lived a life of frustration for not being able to do what you have for others who they believe are lesser than them in their degrees and credentials. Why it is that these individuals are doing and having more than they? But the bottom line is that it does not matter what we say or do or have out here in the world. What matters is what is taking place within ourselves on a regular basis. This is the answer to our present circumstances, whatever those circumstances may be. Not the church we belong to, not whatever religious beliefs we may have. Keep in mind that most of us here this morning, I dare say, those who are still familiar with me, or that I am with them, there are people who have been in divine science long enough to know that what we see out here in the world as men and women are not the men and women we see, but actual spiritual beings living out here in the world, the sum total of their beliefs. In other words, what we say in divine science is, as in mind, so in manifestation. That's what we experience. What we behold in mind, as the German Baron once wrote, Baron Friedrich von Godel, he says, what we manifest out here in the world is God, if that's what we see, or dust, if that's what we see. As within, so without. We are reminded in Scripture, and all of us have heard this at one time or another, that in the beginning God, and that was it. As if to say, I am, and beside me there is none else. And what was true then is still true today. I am, and besides me there is none else. Whatever was made in the beginning was made of God, because there was nothing else. Therefore, God's creation is not physical, but spiritual. All that was made of pure spirit. Is it not written, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live? This spirit that is living all of us now is invisible, which means that the life in us is invisible. We never see life, much in the same way that we never see the wind. We see trees moving, and we see leaves blowing all over the place, but not the wind. And in the same way, we see man out here in the world, but it's not man that we see, but the result of an invisible activity. And that activity, whether we call it spirit, whether we call it a presence, whether we call it an intelligence, this is what beats the heart. This is what moves the lungs. This is what builds scars when we cut ourselves to protect the rest of the body. This intelligence, with a capital I, is totally independent of the human condition. We need not tell it what to do, for it not only knows what to do, but is doing it right now. Even as we sit here this morning, according to our individualized states of consciousness. And that is so important to know. The Spirit of God, the Father within, the indwelling Christ, by whatever name we choose to give this intelligence, it is living us now according to where we are in consciousness. Some people call this intelligence God. Others call it a divine principle. But by whatever name, as Paul said, it is living me now. Now, your mind and my mind. Mind is the link, literally an invisible cord that connects each one of us to this infinite intelligence, to this principle we call God, Spirit. A substance that is forever pure, perfect, and complete. Now, when we speak of mind, I would like to believe that we know the difference between mind and intellect. First of all, the human intellect does not and never has created anything. It does nothing but analyze, rationalize, dissect. But mind, that's something else. Every one of us are consistently reproducing situations and conditions that mirror the qualities of our minds. Not what we rationalize, not what we dissect, not someone else's mind, but only our own mind. What I'm trying to say to you this morning is that the totality of an individual's beliefs, the totality of his convictions, his opinions, his thoughts, his attitudes, in other words, what he thinks with feeling, not necessarily a single thought or a single belief, but the collective consciousness of an individual, it is this consciousness that embodies itself as a substance after its kind. And it is within the nature of this consciousness to produce and reproduce itself over and over again. We see an example of this, as I've mentioned countless numbers of times over the years. We see this process reproduce itself in the animal kingdom and in the plant kingdom. Dogs beget puppies, carrots beget more carrots. In the same way that mind outpictures itself after its kind. If a man is wealthy, at peace, lovable, or if a man lives in poverty, constantly miserable and complaining, a failure in all of his endeavors, each one of these qualities of these individuals. And here, I believe, is the beginning of the meat of this morning's lesson. Each one of these qualities can be continued indefinitely, or they can be changed and be dismissed at any point in time. Because the very power that brings all our experiences into visibility, individual consciousness. This consciousness can be sustained or maintained, or it can be changed. The choice is always up to you and to me. It's in us. Every now and then we hear people talk about being in the right place or in the wrong place at some point in time. That's never true. We are always in our right place. Always. There is no such thing as being in the wrong place at the wrong time. The individual in an automobile accident, or the individual who stumbles over a rock, or the individual who gets bitten by a dog. I've often reminded the congregation about the individual in the hospital with a broken leg. Everyone is in his right place. It is added unto the individual according to his consciousness. In other words, life never makes a mistake. Never. There are no mistakes in life. I've often said that the stork never makes a mistake. We are always born into the right family, into the right home, in the right country. Why? It is added unto us according to our awareness of life. As within, so without. Basic, fundamental metaphysics 101. What this means is that there is no outside God, no such thing as luck or fate or chance that has ever brought hurt or harm or blessings to any of us. We are consistently bringing unto ourselves people and places and situations and conditions that bear witness to where we are in consciousness. We have yet to understand that man was given dominion, quote, over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, and over every creeping thing. Total control of our lives. But as the poet wrote, the fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves. What this means is that at any point in our lives, we have the power to change anything, correct anything, restore anything, heal anything. I ask you this morning to try to understand that whatever it is that you are feeling this morning, whether it's condemnation or a blessing, whether it's anxiousness or at peace, whatever it is that we consistently behold deep within our feeling natures, and it doesn't matter whether it's positive or negative, this intelligence that we've been talking about all morning, that is always at work, what the Bible calls the Father within, quote, the Father that seeth all things in secret shall reward you openly. What this means is that there is absolutely no reason whatsoever why anyone should remain the way they are if they don't like where they are. We all can do this morning, if we choose to do so. The Father within, this infinite intelligence that we've been talking about all morning, it knows nothing, absolute nothing, of right and wrong. It knows nothing about what is fair or unfair. It knows nothing about justice or injustice. You and I do, but not God. It is written that God is too pure to behold iniquities of any kind, which means that God knows nothing about what is right and what is wrong, knows nothing about lack or limitation, nothing of feast or famine, nothing of rights and wrongs. Purity cannot behold impurities of any kind any more than perfection can behold imperfections. As a man thinks with feeling, so is he in the world. And whether we call it the Father within or the Christ in you, as Paul said, they were talking about their own awareness of life, their own consciousness, but not just any consciousness that is filled with human beliefs and opinions, but a Christ consciousness. Paul said, let this mind be in you that was also in the Christ Jesus. In so many words, he said, don't be conformed to this world of personalities and situations and conditions, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, get a new mind. And whether we call it the Father within or the Word that dwelleth in us, it is an invisible presence that lies within the mind of every individual on the face of the earth. It is within you and it is within me, even as we sit here this morning. No one has ever come into the world that did not have this indwelling presence, this light, quote, that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. This is what the man Jesus said, what I do, you can do also. Now, keep in mind that all the while we're living a human existence, your spiritual heritage has not and will never change. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. What you were created in the beginning is now and ever shall be. Our Bible reminds us, now are you the sons and daughters of the Most High. Now. Even Jesus said, I say unto you, ye are gods. I do not believe that there is a single individual in the sanctuary this morning that would not like life to be better than what is evident at the moment. I dare say that most of us would not mind a little better health, perhaps a little bit more money in the bank, better relationships, more peace of mind. And all the while, this Father, this Christ, that is far more willing to give us than we are to receive, is saying, turn to me, and I will turn to you. Did not Jesus say in so many words that the place where this presence that rewards abides within each one of us? And did not Paul say, know you not that you are the very place where all blessings come from? In other words, the whole and complete Spirit of life, the Spirit of God, the Spirit that is living us now, is with you and in you at all times and in every place. One man once asked, has it ever occurred to you that the source of all good will never leave you nor forsake you? He said, has it ever occurred to you that it is with you until the end of time? With all due respect, my question to all of you here this morning, I'm quite sure that you've heard this before, but my question to you is, why haven't we done anything about it? Why have we forgotten that it was said unto us, I am with you always? And when you stop to think about it, it does boggle the mind to know that the power that heals the sick and feeds the hungry, that the power that causes the blind to see and the lame to walk, that the very Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead indwells each one of us. When you think about it, it does boggle the mind to know why it is that so very few ever do anything about it but complain. Why is it that so few of us ever choose to look for it? And once we discover where it can be found, why it is that we don't do anything about it? Does not matter how highly educated we may be, or how diligent we are in the way of living conventional life out here in the world, or how faithful we are in church attendance. It is not until this truth that indwells us begins to awaken as a realization that we begin to reap the benefits of this unfolding consciousness in us. Until this awakening begins to take place, very little of any benefit will ever happen to us. Until this awakening begins to take place, we remain more or less subject to human thought and human belief. And the first great step in attaining a measure of this mind that was also in the Christ Jesus is understanding that the things of the Spirit cannot be understood nor attained by the present mind that we have at the moment. Because of the things of the Spirit can only be spiritually discerned. Having said all of this, let me say to you this morning that there appears to be a general belief that attaining this mind that was also in the Christ Jesus is very difficult. That it is only for the chosen few. But nothing can be further from the truth. In fact, there is a very simple and easy way to attain it. Jesus taught it. But as usual, we don't listen. And if we do listen, we don't do anything about it. Prayer is the answer. Prayer is the way. But not prayer as we have been taught since we've been children. Rather, as Jesus said in so many ways, when you pray, don't simply repeat words. Repetitive words or repetitive phrases don't do a thing. God doesn't have ears to hear. So save your words, don't use them. As Paul said, don't be like everyone else. Be different. Come out from among the masses, he said. Separate yourselves from them. And here it is, and I know that you've heard this dozens and dozens and dozens of times, but perhaps this time we will listen. When you pray, he said, enter thy closet. In other words, turn within yourself. And when thou hast shut the door, when you have released everything that you were going through or have gone through or anticipate going through, not only you, but whatever it is that your best friend is going through, whenever you stop taking thought about anything out here in the world, as a matter of fact, did not Jesus say, take no thought even for the most basic things in life, like what you're going to eat or drink or wherewithal you're going to be clothed? When you find yourself in a silent nothingness, when you find yourself in the absence of anything and everything, this is praying to the Father in secret. As Jesus said, be not like the masses, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. It's a matter of dying to the world out here, even if for a few moments, several times throughout any given day, because it is here in the deep silence of our own beings that we find ourselves in the Father's house, in the house of the Lord, in the temple of God, in the deep silence within our own being. And so it is that we slowly begin to understand not only what it means to be still, but to say with a mystic, God is in this place, and I knew it not. This is prayer in its highest. I know what you and I have been taught since children, that we need to tell God our problems, that we need to tell God about our fears and our frustrations and about everything that is wrong in our lives, without realizing that what we think with feeling, which is what we do in traditional prayer. You know what we do in traditional prayers? We say, dear God, my mother is dying. Please help her. Please do something for her. Or else we say, dear God, I don't have a job. I don't have any money. I'm going to lose our house. My family is going to go hungry. Dear God, please help me. That's the general gist of most prayers. But it is an impossibility to say what I've just said without emotionalizing the thought that lies back of those words. And the result is that we find ourselves perpetuating the very things we no longer want. Why? Because as a man thinks with feeling, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he in the world. Or as we say in divine science, as within, so without. And let me leave you with this thought. As far as you're concerned, I may just be some lunatic out here, somebody saying a lot of nonsense. So don't take my word for it. Please don't. Prove it for yourself. Prove me now, saith the Father within, and I will open the windows of heaven and pour you a blessing there will not be room enough to receive it. Shall we begin this morning? Shall we try to put this lesson into practice by becoming still, by taking no thoughts about what is happening in the world, taking no thoughts about the hunger in the world, about the poverty in the world, about the fighting that is taking place all over the world, about the crime that is just around the corner? Take no thought. Know that God is here. That the answer to every human need is here and now. And it begins with each one of us. It begins when we begin to die to the world, to take no thought. It begins when we choose to be still and let the Father that seeth all things in secret reward us accordingly. In stillness and in quiet. O wondrous God, who searches all hearts, who knows our hearts, hear this morning as we turn to you. And for the realization of your presence here and now, for this blessing, we give you thanks. Amen. And so it is that in this manner, the Lord God in the midst of us blesses us and keeps us. It is here that his love shines upon us and is gracious unto us. It is here that our consciousness is lifted. And so we abide in peace.
Amen.